More and more businesses are applying classroom anthropology to corporate situations. On this edition of Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a thought leader and business consultant about corporate anthropology and just when the best time might be for a company to seek marketing advice. That's now on Techonomics.
Hi, and thanks for checking us out. Andy Simon is an expert in several fields with years and years of expertise and honing of corporate anthropology, marketing, and gender equality workplace experience. She is the author of the award-winning book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights.
You know, every chapter of my book is about a company that was stalled and the future was right around them. They just couldn't see it. And you buy with your emotions and justify with reason, and so your brain shuts it down and can't see what's right there.
It takes more than some pasted-on marketing or a slick rebranding campaign to help a company overcome a challenge. It's the scientific method, the objective gathering of data, and the formulation of a strategy. First, of course, you have to identify the problem. Is it customer dissatisfaction? Well, that sounds simple, but it's too often true. Better put, it might be an entrenched culture that acts like blinders on a horse. Here we go with corporate anthropologist Andy Simon.
Andy Simon, PhD, president, corporate anthropologist, and president of Simon Associates Management Consultants.
Thank you for coming in again. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Oh, the pleasure's mine.
We always do it good in studio, and you have such a cool title. First, let's go to cultural anthropology. What's the difference between that title and just marketing?
Oh, what a wonderful question. When I went into business, I launched myself as a corporate anthropologist because I've been an anthropologist for my entire career. I was interested in studying how people adapted when they immigrated. So I did my work in Greece on Greek immigration and return migration. And the point of sharing that is that people typically ask me, don't you study small-scale societies? And then I did a lot of marketing, branding, and other work as I was an executive working with organizations changing. And I realized that what anthropology brought to the equation was a view from the outside in. Our basic premise is that people don't really know what they're doing, and they don't really know what they want. They will tell you what they think is appropriate. They have a great story in their mind. The way the brain works is that it creates a story and then supports it with the facts. They buy with emotion and justify it with reason. And so rationale, not necessarily there. But if you step outside and look at it outside in and observe, if you hang out and watch what people are really doing, if you have a lunch and listen and actually have them tell you about the stories that are bothering them, what you'll observe is what's really happening. So I'll give you a case. When the internet first became e-commerce, we used to put people in front of the computer and ask them, how are you going to buy this on the Liz Claiborne site? And they would tell us. And then we would video them doing it. And there was no connection between what they said and what they did. And so it became very clear. And so what I now do is I take my clients when we go discovering, and I get them visually exploring. And I take them out, and if I can, I get them to spend a day in the life of their client. And watching and observing, not selling anything. Now, marketing takes this all, and in this world that we have of social media, it's about what are people buying, what are they searching for, and what do they need. And that's not what our factory is producing. It's where is the connection and how do we get us to be their solution? So what the world has become is really outside in. And so now the question is, can a little anthropology help their business grow? And that's my pitch.
Interesting. I look at your site. I see how can anthropology help my business grow, not necessarily pivot, right? So you're taking a relatively successful company, helping it self-examine through your culture. Okay, I understand. Okay, so it's not like it's not go to market. It's how to better prepare to go to market.
Now, we're working with a startup now, and they're in the go-to-market phase. And there's a wonderful chapter in my book. My book's called On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights. And there's an early stage company. And they were pushing their products out to an audience that wasn't buying. And didn't they see the value in what we were doing? So to your point of pivoting. Mm-hmm. So we went out exploring. And what we heard from their potential customers, what they didn't understand the benefits or why this would help, and they really weren't prepared to buy. And there was a big gap between this is the right solution to, I don't know what my problem is. And it was only in backward thinking that they began to realize that they had not educated the customer about why there was a problem, much less there was a solution.
Uh-huh.
And so to your point about pivoting, it really depends upon how we're going to connect. This is about connecting with a person who has an unmet need. Pain points are great places for growth.
Uh-huh.
And often, you know, every chapter of my book is about a company that was stalled and the future was right around them. and they just couldn't see it.
Interesting.
And you buy with your emotions and justify with reason, and so your brain shuts it down and can't see what's right there.
Right.
So that's the difference in how we connect anthropology into then great marketing, because I really do think they're linked but not identical.
Before we get into Uber, which is technically still a startup, you know, startup used to mean 20 years ago something different than it does now. At first, I was a little surprised that a startup could afford you, frankly. Mm-hmm. But now I know they're a little more mature before they go to market. What kind of work do you find most interesting when working with startups?
People fall in love with the ideas. So I taught entrepreneurship at Washington University as a visiting professor. And every one of the entrepreneurs, startups, came in and they talk about how they are engulfed in the ideas of vision and the possibilities. And if they don't have a strong process type A to organize them, then they don't get any results. And it's always very, from a cultural perspective, they're doing ideas a minute. And often they now need someone to give it structure, processes, and pull the people together so that you can actually implement something. And also they tend to think of it inside out, not outside in.
Mm.
And quite frankly, the world is built outside in.
Yes.
And it's moving so fast on the outside that being agile and nimble is going to be extremely important. You can't fall in love with what you're selling. I will tell you, I was up in the, I'll call the middle of America over the last number of weeks. I talk all the time, and a lot of the middle of America wants the old to come back. And these companies own 50% of the market in a market that's not growing. Okay. And they are almost ready to be a new startup, but not ready to give up on what they have always done.
Okay.
And it's very interesting. When you own 90% of the world's market in a product, and it's not a growing market, everyone else has abandoned you. It's time you saw this as a problem to be solved, not as something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that old nostalgia holding on to the past. It's going to hold on to it until it no longer has anything to hold on to. But I said, you're celebrating that you own 50% of the market. Where's the growth coming from?
Right.
Well, that's our problem. And the demand is shrinking. So there are lots of things going on today that are, you said, what's of interest to me?
Yeah.
How do I change the way people see both themselves and what's possible? And we sell possibilities. And quite frankly, it is more fun for me to see someone have an aha moment. It isn't what I do. It's how the process, really anthropology, the process of rethinking what you're doing. And all of a sudden your brain goes, ah, that's what you're talking about.
Right.
I don't have to do anything. Off they go. And it's so much fun.
That's pretty cool. And that company you mentioned that had all that market share, I think Kodak had a similar market share at one point down that.
That's a famous story for good reasons.
Yes,
right
it
there.
Is. It's a cautionary tale.
Right.
I bring it up.
It was right in front of them and they couldn't see it.
Yeah, I bring it up several times when I speak with founders. And let's talk about Uber, because Uber is having a bit of a let's say malaise, if you will, in the market. And a lot of it is self-inflicted. So I'm wondering what your takeaway is so far on this. And then we'll get into some recent headlines.
All sorts of things about Uber. I love Uber. And Uber is going to be, so I'll do this in two different ways.
Okay.
On the one hand, Uber is transformative. I mean, I know people in Atlanta, for example, who are selling their cars because they don't need them anymore. Don't want to pay the insurance so they can do Uber. There's a parking garage system here in San Francisco who's mm-hmm. worried that nobody's driving their cars to work anymore. They're just using Uber. So on the one hand, there's something brilliant going on.
Mm-hmm.
On the other, it's the workplace. And, you know, quite honestly, I grew up in a workplace where sexual harassment was not uncommon. And I actually had to take somebody to court when I was up for tenure at a college because unless I followed his sexual harassment, I wasn't going to get my tenure. And I say that because that's a long time ago, but it's yesterday.
Yeah.
And so it
so
is.
Such little progress made there. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, to your point, there is little progress. And the people say, well, why? I said, I can say men will be men and women will be women, but I don't think that's a good excuse. I do think it starts from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
Most cultures start from the top down. And if it's enabled and not dealt with immediately, I can't quite understand HR. Because HR's role is to protect those employees and not simply and protecting the bad ones. It sounds like, well, he's got a I couldn't quite figure all that out. Having said that, it's not a bad time for Uber to rethink its entire culture and build one in which women can thrive and be the opposite of what it is now. And wouldn't that be interesting from Silicon Valley land?
Absolutely.
Where it could take the bad and turn lemons into lemonade in such an empowered way that women begin to thrive there in a much balanced environment and show them how you can do that as opposed to being defensive about it. There was one little Facebook line where they shouldn't change their culture. And this was an investor, and I said, why? This is something you're embracing,
right.
That bad is okay.
That was Andy Simon, a corporate anthropologist and author of the award-winning book On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights. Andy has clients, both large and small, but often the challenge that corporations of all sizes face is how to honestly diagnose their internal problem before they can better satisfy their external customers' problem. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.